Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today the church ends the Christmas season with this feast of the baptism of the Lord. Jesus of Nazareth accepts his vocation as the anointed one, the Christ, the one who will redeem mankind from sin. He goes to the Jordan River to be baptized by St. John the Baptist in order to identify himself with sinful humanity. Going down into the water, the sinless one purifies all of the waters of the world in preparation for the sacrament that, after the Lord's death and resurrection, will impart new life, divine life, to those who have received the gift of faith. In this marvelous encounter on the banks of the Jordan River, God reveals himself as the Most Holy Trinity. The Most Holy Trinity. The Son is baptized, the Holy Spirit descends on the Son, and the Father's voice is heard. In that very moment, Jesus is anointed as the Messiah, and the Father says, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." John foretold that one mightier than himself was coming, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. The Baptist associates the Holy Spirit with might, with strength. So it may seem curious, at least it was to me, that when the Holy Spirit appears, he appears in the form of a dove. He appears in the form of a dove. Why not a raven or an eagle or another bird of prey? These are associated with might and with strength. Why a dove? Doves are harmless, peaceful birds. Why should the Holy Spirit appear as a dove? The most appropriate answer is that the dove is a symbol of love. And it has this special significance in sacred scripture, most significantly in that beautiful poem in the Old Testament, the Song of Songs. So it was altogether appropriate that the Holy Spirit, remember now, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the very love that is shared between God the Father and God the Son. That love that's shared between them, divine love, is the Holy Spirit. So it's altogether appropriate that the Holy Spirit should manifest his presence by the appearance of a dove. The dove, a harmless and peaceful bird, symbolizes an important paradox, which is essential for us to understand if we are to appreciate the richness of our own baptism and our life with God in Christ. God, who is mighty, loves with tender gentleness. God, who is mighty, loves with tender gentleness. And he expects his beloved children to love in the same way. The first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah makes this point clear. The passage is from the first of the so-called servant songs, the songs in Isaiah about that mysterious servant. And this servant of the Lord is God's chosen one who will manifest God's justice, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench. There is no violence in the servant's actions. Only tender gentleness. Indeed, the description suggests an abiding solicitude for the weakest among men. He will not break the bruised reed or snuff out the smoldering wick. Metaphors for those who have suffered pain, disappointments, or other trials of life and who are on the verge of hopelessness. These he will not chastise or abandon. Rather, in the strength which comes from God, what the servant will do is open the eyes of the blind to the presence of God in their lives. And he will bring out prisoners from their confinement in sin. And from the dungeon, those who live in the darkness of hopelessness. And of course, Christians beginning in the early church have understood that this oracle was fulfilled through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, Christ himself referred to it. He referred to the oracle in Isaiah when he testified to the disciples of John the Baptist regarding the works he was performing. St. Peter, in his preaching to the household of Cornelius, excerpted in today's second reading, summarizes Christ's ministry by simply saying, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. So he recalled his baptism, right? He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Dear friends, today's celebration of Jesus' baptism should prompt reflection on our own. And just as an aside, it would be wonderful if everyone in this church knew what his baptism day was and celebrated that in the home. You know, that's your homework for this week, right? Go home and find out, when was my baptism day, and celebrate it in the home. You know, imagine this, you know. On one of the members of the family's baptism day, let's say the father, right? And the kids come home from wherever, we'll say school, and they come in and they smell this wonderful cooking in the kitchen, and they come in and say, what is this? And, you know, mom says, well, it's in, pick whatever your favorite meal is, right? And, well, why are we having that? Well, we're celebrating Dad's baptism day. You know? At the very least, have a special dessert. Have a special dessert. Go home and find out when your baptism day is. You know, the baptism is more important than the birthday for reasons we're talking about. You know, like Christ in baptism, we receive God's mighty power. The power of divine love, which made us his children. On that day, the Holy Spirit marked each of our souls with a sacred seal, a seal which made us God's own unto eternity. And the Father looked at each one of us and said, you are my beloved. You are my beloved. And so we are called to act with the power of the Spirit as Christ did. We are to go about doing good and bringing God's healing love to others. And we are to do it with tender gentleness. With tender gentleness. Unless we are gentle like Christ, we cannot be strong in the Holy Spirit. What prevents us from acting in this way? Pride, anger, self-will, jealousy and envy. These are what hinder us from loving in a Christ-like way. And these sins reveal not strength, but weakness. Yes, they reveal an inability to trust in the power and love of God. This is unacceptable in God's eyes. As St. Peter said, I see that whoever fears God and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. So in the first place, my friends, if we are to love with tender gentleness, we must fear God. We must fear God. And this itself is a gift of the Holy Spirit. What's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The fear of the Lord. To fear God means to have the deepest respect, the deepest reverence for him, born of an everlasting love, an ever-growing love, which recognizes the richness of the gift that we've been given to be one of his beloved children. To receive God's love is to appreciate God's overwhelming generosity. For he loves freely. There is no way that a man can earn God's love. You know, God doesn't love us because we deserve it. God loves us because he chooses to love us. That's the reason he made us. Not only in the fear of the Lord do we appreciate God's generosity, even more we value his abiding patience and mercy. Just imagine if God treated us with exact justice. We who are sinners would be lost. I know I would be. I would be lost. But God never gives up on us, my friends, never. When we repent, He forgives us. And He gives us the precious time. He gives us precious time to love authentically. And this brings me to a second point. If we are to love tenderly, we must act uprightly. We must proclaim peace through Jesus Christ. A disciple of Christ is a bearer of peace. We must be bearers of His peace to others. We must go about doing good. And in doing so, we need to be mindful of the weakest among us, the bruised reeds and the smoldering wicks. May it please God never to allow us to be the cause of the flame of faith to die in others. And let us remember that violence and shouting, anger and bitterness have no place in the lives of the disciples. This year, my friends, let us pray earnestly that we may be strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to love one another more authentically. In this way, each of us will honor the reality of our baptism and be a more faithful follower of our only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.